Welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. In this episode, Katie Allred and I are going to discuss the future of AI. We talk about an interview with Mark Zuckerberg where he discusses where AI is going. Do you think it's okay to have an AI companion or an AI friend instead of possibly a human friend? We'll discuss that and a lot more in this episode.
Welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. Our goal is to equip pastors and church leaders with resources related to artificial intelligence, helpful for sermon prep, creative ministries, outreach, and more. We do this by providing exclusive insights from AI experts, church leaders, and innovators actively leveraging AI to amplify the gospel and reach more people for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, everyone, to today's episode where we're going to dive into one of the more important tech interviews of this past year.
Yeah, so a guy named Ben Thompson, he sat down with Mark Zuckerberg. And I think we all know who Mark Zuckerberg is, the guy who started Facebook or Meta. And he was at interviewing him at the Meta headquarters just ahead of something called LlamaCon, which Llama, if you don't know, is the AI or large language model of Meta. And they have a meeting called LlamaCon. And he gave an interview. He interviewed Mark Zuckerberg and he sat down and talked about the future of AI, social networking, messaging, and hardware, which is a lot of stuff that he talked to Mark Zuckerberg about.
Yeah. In this interview, it seems like he reflected a lot on Meta's journey from Facebook to open source AI and smart glasses and how it's kind of come full circle. And he talks about building a personal AI assistant and transforming social platforms into content discovery engines. So we're going to talk about in this episode how churches and businesses can use messaging as next growth frontier.
Yeah, what's interesting in this interview, which we're going to talk about, is how it's not just about algorithms anymore, not about the machines just giving you, you know, what you want, but it's about your presence and connection and how AI can actually become a part of our everyday lives, which as followers of Jesus, is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I don't know, but that's what the interview is about.
David, what do you think Zuckerberg is really trying to build?
Well, yeah, that it's a really interesting question because what is interesting is the idea that AI can become a companion to you, which is such an interesting idea because if he's saying, okay, not only become a tool, but a companion, that's a very, very different thing.
Yeah. He is kind of describing it not as a shift like from using one product to using another, but like a complete platform shift, like a different way of thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? Could you give people who are listening and give an overview of what is the main, what is the concept of personal AI? What does that even mean?
Yeah, so I think for Meta specifically, he's really thinking about those glasses and also how like you discover content on their platform. So what that looks like when it comes to like messaging or searching or creating content, how we even do, you know, therapy or counseling, all those things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where Meta, if you've followed Mark at all in the last few years, it feels like they keep trying to take major swings. I don't know that all of these swings are home runs or even singles. So just to go over a few things that they've worked on, they've worked on the metaverse, and that's like an alternative world of where you have, you're an avatar. They've worked on the Meta goggles, whatever. What are those called?
Meta glasses. They're just like Ray-Bans. No. Oh, you're talking about Oculus?
Yes. The Oculus.
Yeah.
My kids, we have that, and they are also often chasing random strangers around as gorillas, playing tag. So it's very funny if you've ever. It's fun to watch somebody with those, and it's even more fun to watch videos online of people wearing those and
running into walls.
Running into walls, or thinking that they're going to fall and then scream as they fall over, and they think, you know, in their glasses they're falling to their doom. You know, you'll have to forgive me if anyone is watching this and you think we're, you know, I'm a horrible person, but come on. It's funny when somebody's like, ah, and then they run and you know, run into something, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to mark off your area when you put on the Oculus.
Yeah, the boundary.
Yes. So yes. My kids do have a boundary so they don't run into walls. And then the last thing is the glasses. That's most recent, which you just mentioned.
Yeah. Well, to kind of shift the conversation just a little bit, you know, I think Meta sees messaging as the center of real human connection more than feeds. So for the last, you know, 20 years of Facebook's existence, it's been really focused on the feed, you know, like what's going on in your feed. But now that focus is really switching into messaging in particularly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is, how do you think that would look practically? Like if they shifted from the feed to something else, to me, that's hard to imagine. And how would that practically look?
I mean, I think it's group chats. Yeah, I think that's what he's trying to say is like group chats are now the new social network. And so, you know, churches building like small group communities specifically like in a group chat. So are we like investing in messaging based platforms like WhatsApp or Band or Discord? There's, you know, a lot of different messaging apps. It's very different from the social media algorithm feed that we've been playing with.
Yeah. And that's one of those things, like my kids, they're always on, their friends interact with each other through Snapchat. And that's the primary way that anyone who is over, who's a teenager and older, you know, when my kids like they were missing a bunch of school stuff and school sports stuff because all of their sports teams were primarily and only communicating through Snapchat.
Yeah.
And that was, it was like their primary way of communication.
Going back to like messaging and thinking about like AI specifically with like chatbots. So yeah. I think we've talked a few times about AI chatbots in the past and on this. I think Meta is really kind of betting that every business and possibly like every church, pretty much anybody that has a Facebook page, will be using AI in messaging. So what do you think that looks like for churches?
Yeah. Well, I think we've seen that churches figuring that out, where more and more churches are adding an AI chat bot to their church website, and where you can interact. I mean, you can go as deep as interacting with previous sermons. So that's like the deep end of the pool. But, you know, a lot closer to the shallow end of the pool could be answering general just questions about the church. And then let's say you go a little bit deeper and it could be actually having some level of a spiritual conversation with the chatbot that's faith oriented. And then you go deeper down that path. And that's where you get just in complexity. And that's where you get the asking questions and being offered relevant content from every sermon that the church has ever preached.
So I think the question then is like, where is that line where we start to lose our humanity when it comes to like automation?
Yeah, that's, I, and a closely related question or observation, the better that gets, the more people will rely on those conversations as an actual connection point.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things like, is that good or bad? Probably bad.
Yeah.
But at some level, is it what is going to happen? So it's more of a question for the church to say, how do we prepare and respond mm-hmm. our congregants to live in a world where people have some level of an emotional connection mm-hmm. to a chat interaction? And that's a tough question.
I think that kind of points into the AI as a companion piece. So I'll, you know, come back to this other thought that I had on content creation. But, you know, I think Mark says in this interview, I think it's interesting. He says, everyone should probably have a therapist, if not a person, an AI. So Meta AI is already helping users talk through relationships and difficult conversations.
Yeah.
And I think this has like huge implications for what discipleship looks like, coaching, and like one-on-one ministry. So I guess the question is, should pastors be even experimenting with these tools?
Yeah, I love that. And it is true that if we had a personal AI that, say, would knew your schedule, knew you, mm-hmm. would remind you to get up, would remind you to exercise, that you could talk to it or something, a separate one like it, about mm-hmm. how you're doing spiritually, emotionally, you know, you could it could offer some level of counseling.
Yeah.
I would like that.
Yeah.
And I would say that, you know, we'd actually this month, the month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And we all need a counselor. That's like a fact of life. Mm-hmm. But the challenge is they can be expensive and sometimes hard to find. Hard to find one.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, I guess that's just one of the multiple thoughts there. But I mean, would you want that, Katie?
Yes and no. I think like a real person, I could do that now. Like I could use ChatGPT as a counselor, like to throw ideas again. And like that's good. But like also ChatGPT has a leaning towards being optimistic.
Yeah.
And maybe not always realistic.
Yeah.
About the situation, and like sometimes you really need a counselor that will like challenge you or, you know, help you set yourself in reality.
Yeah.
And obviously ChatGPT or any AI isn't necessarily always set in reality. So I guess, you know, we've got to figure out where that line is of like reminding people of using AI as like a companion, but not really a replacement for human connection.
Right. I think that's where I would want that helper as an addition to me valuing human connection interaction of saying like, I need to have my own discipline. Well, kind of like my Amazon Alexa wakes me up every morning. So, I mean, that's not AI. It's just a feature of a thing. But if that was connected to some level of an AI, that would
Alexa is AI. You know, when you tell it to wake you up at a certain time, it's still having to think, what did it tell you? And like, okay, well, let me turn on my alarm thing. And, you know, like it's an AI to, you know, a certain point, just as much as I think ChatGPT is.
Yes. Yeah, it's true. It does have some rudimentary response, you know, rudimentary pieces like that. But it's true. I think your point of it needs to be an addition, not a replacement.
Yeah.
And that's what's, you know, the challenge is as churches move forward, more and more people will lean on it as replacements and not in additions to their lives.
On that note, let's talk a little bit about content generation. So a lot of churches produce a lot of content, namely around Sunday, right? And so I'm just wondering, like, and Mark mentions this, like, we're going to get to a point where, like, a business connects to us, gives us a budget, and we do the rest. No content, no targeting. Like, so, like, people want to run an ad. Eventually, you'll just be able to tell Facebook you want to run an ad and you want to reach these kind of people. And eventually, it's just going to be able to do it, like, without having to have a lot more information. Like, you won't have to upload creative to it, essentially, is what it's saying. So I feel like this is a big deal, especially for churches that don't have much of a budget for creative.
It's such doesn't it feel like every single thing we talk about, there's a lot of upside, but there's like a slippery slope, or like,
yeah,
there's big upside, but also big downside.
Right.
And
100%.
And once that ability is unveiled, you can't go back to a world where that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so it is also in many ways inevitable. Yeah. And so, yeah, like once you live in a world with air conditioning now exists. And yeah. And you, it's, so I guess, what do you think about that? Like, what are your thoughts on that, Katie?
I think that now that we can automate content and create it so quickly, it's good and bad, like you were saying. I think there's a lot of risk associated with having too much automated content, just because at some point you become inauthentic, you know? What is you and what is the AI, right? What is the church and what is the AI? Like, I think that's a certain point. But I think the ability to create sermon clips really quickly, or create reels or devotionals or questions about your sermon, I think all those things are really good. Like you were saying, I think, yeah, just at a certain point, it becomes inauthentic. It doesn't really even lend itself to what you were trying to create in the first place. So, again, I think a lot of this, and I think a lot of this conversation with Mark is like pushing that boundary of where is the boundary of like what we should and shouldn't do with AI.
Yeah. I mean, we work with so many smaller churches that are just overworked, stressed out, and there's so many things that they know they need to do that they can't because they just don't have time. So no. A sermon reel creating platform like Sermon Shots or Opus mm-hmm. Clips or one of those, before they weren't creating any social media. They weren't creating clips. They weren't doing that at all. So Sermon Shots and in these sermon reel platforms created an opportunity to do something that they could not do. And so similarly, there's churches who say, I may not be able to outsource ad creation, and I don't have time or know-how or the ability to do it, so I'm just not. And so something like this does help those churches venture into a world that they previously were locked out of or they felt locked out of. So that's really good.
Yeah.
But the downside of the other things you just said, of what do we give in exchange for that? It's just that is a fact that,
I think, you know, it also plays into that role of the open source of it. So like Mark in the interview talked about how like we're not trying to build a business. We just want to reference what already works. So like building on open source software is something that he's like really adamant about, is that, you know, anybody could learn and build from this, but like at what's the boundary point for like theological control? Because, you know, I think we have churches that are open and progressive, and then we have churches that see the Bible literally and definitively. I don't, you know, have an opinion on which one is right or wrong, but your church does. You know, I think knowing that an LLM, you know, is coming or an AI is coming that will, you're going to need to speak into that at some point.
We've mentioned this, but this is a thing that it just exists in very, you know, small little snippets right now. But the idea of an AI as your therapist, AI as a coach, AI as a disciple companion. Mm-hmm. How would we help our congregants know where the line is?
Yeah. And I think that's a big thing that we're going to continue struggling with for the next several years as we see this continue to grow. Because I think we're going to see it become more human-like. I think it's already very much there, but I think we're going to see more and more interaction with it, where it's pretty normal to see someone talking to their AI, just like they're talking to their phone, right? Like to somebody. I think we'll eventually get to that point where, you know, we're seeing people have like a normal phone call conversation, but it's actually with ChatGPT. So I think, you know, that's going to be huge. But, you know, I feel like that's one of the most actionable takeaways. What do you think?
Yeah, I want to pause and I want to say this for people who are listening.
Yeah.
Here's what's interesting about the conversation that Katie and I are having. We're talking about something that doesn't quite exist yet, but is coming fast. So we're having these preliminary discussions. So those of you who are listening to this, it's like you're ahead of the game by having discussions and asking questions and being a part of this active discussion of saying, this is coming, this is inevitable. This will be impacting your church. Let's begin having those discussions. So I just wanted to pause because I just think what a cool thing that in some ways we're talking about. It's like we're talking about flying cars and what are the best, how should the laws of driving in the sky be similar or different from the laws of driving on the ground?
On the road.
Yeah. That's kind of what our discussion is right now. And so I guess I feel like what you and I have both been saying all along, and really what we've been saying on the podcast all along, is that you should always own your personal writing and interactions, and AI should never be a replacement for God or for other people. It should be a helper and a companion, but never a replacement.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good principle that we should encourage churches to just
ground themselves
in their values. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like the Holy Spirit lives in you. It doesn't live in your computer.
Yes. I love that. That should be on the next like a t-shirt. We should have AI for churches. The Holy Spirit is in you, not in your computer, but still use AI or something like that.
Yeah. It's still okay. I mean, I think it's totally fine to have it like help you. Just don't let it, you know, make the final decisions for you about what you believe, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think? And, you know, now we're going to talk about maybe some tools to try, but like one final quote that I just wanted to leave us with when we're talking about this Mark Zuckerberg interview specifically is Mark said, there's an interesting sociological finding that the average American has fewer than three friends and would like to have more. AI might not replace friends, but it can help people feel less alone. And so I think we're going to see this grow more and more as like a companion. And what does that mean for the world? I don't know, but it's interesting. It's weird. It's something for us to consider because it's happening. And so, you know, just something to think about.
But yeah, I wanted to as we move to our next section and just kind of talking about tools people should be aware of in regards to what's going on in the world of AI right now. And I have one I wanted to share that if you don't know about it, you should, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
And that is ChatGPT has released a new AI image generator.
Mm-hmm.
They've had one previously for years that's been, fine, not great.
Yeah.
But they just released this their newest, just their AI image generator platform. And it is awesome. The thing I love about it the most, I've been turning all of my coworkers into Muppets. And it was recently the May the 4th. And so turning them all to Jedi Knights. I haven't been successful at turning them any of them into Chewbacca. But Jedi Knights, it's all about that. Muppet, Simpsons characters, characters from other cartoons. One guy, I added him into the Andy Griffith show because he loved old TV shows. But the coolest thing about it is it doesn't take, you don't have to put in this very complex prompt.
Yeah.
You just upload an image of us. Like I can upload this image of David, of myself or you and say, turn this into a Muppet. Turn this person into a Muppet and or a character from The Simpsons. And it just does it. That's it.
Yeah.
Have you played around with that very much?
Oh, yeah, I have. I've turned myself into a Muppet. I've turned friends into Muppets. And then also, like, it can spell really well. Now, I mean, now not huge amounts of text. You know, yeah. It can't do, like, a whole worksheet or page for you quite yet.
Yes.
But it can do, like, hey, like, write out a recipe for me and then place it on top of the cooked item or whatever and generate a picture of it. Like, it can, like, write it on a note card or whatever. You can get that specific with it if you want, and it'll even generate the recipe for you. So it's like really crazy the amount of detail now that it can have. Whereas before, yeah, like writing, it just generated like gibberish, like Russian looking gibberish. But now it does generate pretty good English. I don't think it's quite there to the point of generating like a brand logo for you. I think it can generate an idea or a starting place, but I don't think we're far off from it.
I'll tell you two ways I've used it recently. One fun and one practical related to logos.
Sure.
We're starting an AI executive roundtable, which is a meeting where I'm going to meet once a month with church executives or lead pastors, like exec pastors or lead pastors, just to have like a 30-minute call to give an update on what's going on in the world of AI that churches need to know about, share tips, talk about what's going on, that kind of stuff. But I created a logo for that using ChatGPT's image generator. And it did awesome. So that's a practical one. The fun one is I recently, my wife and I saw a musical this past weekend. And I, just for fun, I took the program, like the logo of the musical, and I changed the words. Like I made it to say something different. And like there was another musical we thought was terrible and we watched that. So I changed the words to say, not that musical. And so, and then we all laughed, but it was just, but the word, it did it. It took out the main words of the logo and it replaced it in something that looked great.
Yeah.
And
it
was amazing.
Yeah. No, to give you another practical example, I used ChatGPT's image thing this past week in the church communications Facebook group. Somebody posted a picture of their, they lost their mother. And needed to edit an image that was kind of clunky. You know, it had like some, it had a lot of stuff going on in the background, had another person in it. And so I actually threw it into ChatGPT and just told it to clean it up and give it a generic background and remove the Christmas tree from her shirt and those kind of things. And it actually turned out to me a really decent image to start with. Now, it wasn't perfect. It definitely changed the way she looked a little bit. So I said, you know, this may not be what you want. But it actually gave me a good idea for like, okay, how can I edit this in Photoshop? So I ended up throwing it in Photoshop and using their AI tools now to delete and remove and create a different background and edit it so that it did still look like her. But it gave me a good starting place for how I wanted to edit it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's not exactly perfect quite yet with the ChatGPT. Like I said, it didn't exactly resemble her, even though I asked it to be more realistic or whatever. But I think there's going to come a time shortly where it is pretty spot on. It already almost is. So, yeah, it's exciting times.
Yeah. Our mutual friend, Rob Lauder, one thing that he says, and I think it's good wisdom, that the prompting of the future is going to be more about knowing how to ask the right questions than it might be knowing the perfect secret sauce.
Yeah.
And the newest ChatGPT image generator is an example of that, where you can just tell it exactly what you want and let it figure out the details.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, were there any tools that you wanted to share? That was the thing
I think that's a good one. That's where I'm at right now too. I think that sounds good. I'm glad we really went over quite a bit in this episode. It's pretty heady at some point. So I hope you go and check out that article. It's on the Stratechery. The reason I even suggested it was when I worked at Meta. It was a blog that got passed around quite often from VPs and stuff. They were always like, I'll read it. Have you read the article? Da, 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 da. So I was like, all right, this seems like it's probably big enough that we should discuss it or decent enough. Because, I mean, Mark appears in other things, obviously, but I don't think has given away quite this much direction. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah, he's definitely one we want to just listen to hear what he's thinking and where does he think this train is going. And I think that's helpful for churches to be aware of. So thank you guys for dreaming about the future with us today in this episode. Thanks so much for listening to the AI for Churches podcast today. We hope you will like, subscribe, and share this episode. And feel free to comment and offer your thoughts. If you haven't yet, make sure that you join our Facebook group, AI for Churches. And if your church is looking for how to apply and utilize and scale AI, make sure you book a discovery call on AI for Churches, our website.